Good morning, and thank all of you for being here on another gorgeous day that the Lord has blessed us with. We do have some visitors, and we're so thankful for that. Always, we never take for granted that you're with us, and we do appreciate you coming, and we do hope you'll come back each and every chance you have. Before we begin this morning, I have a note that B has asked me to read to the congregation, and it says, a special thanks to everyone for their prayers, phone calls, food, and flowers. It was a long, hard struggle, but with God's help, we made it. Again, thanks. B. Those of you who don't know it, B's husband, Marvin, passed away last Wednesday. And she is in our prayers and may God be with her and bless her. You know, there's some sad passages in the Bible. And one that come to mind is what Felix told Paul after Paul had preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He said, go away right now, and when it's convenient for me, I will call for you. Any man who thinks seriously of eternal judgment to come and standing before the judgment seat of Christ without his sins being repented of becomes concerned just as Felix did. But Felix wanted to wait until tomorrow. Then Paul preached Jesus to King Agrippa. I don't know if you remember these words or not. I want us to look at those. It's Acts 26 and verse 28. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. To me, these are the saddest words in the Bible. King Agrippa told Paul, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, he says, you had me persuaded to become a Christian. Now, we don't know if Agrippa was sincere in his response, but King Agrippa wanted to wait until tomorrow. So this morning, I want to talk to you about something that will never come tomorrow. Webster simply defines tomorrow as the day after today. Please open your Bibles, if you would, and follow along with me as we study God's Word. And one of the most two-sided words in the English language is the word tomorrow. And let me show you what I mean. In tomorrow, it is possible to find a source of encouragement and comfort. When you've had an extremely hard day and nothing seems to go right, there is comfort in the idea that tomorrow will be better. Who among us has not spent a night lying awake, worrying about some problem, anxiously waiting the dawn of a new day, in other words, anxiously awaiting tomorrow? So there's a certain degree of comfort in the very idea of tomorrow. But you know something? When it comes to getting things done and moving forward in life, there is no more dangerous word than tomorrow. Tomorrow is the favorite word of procrastinators. If I can say that I will do it tomorrow, then I have in a small way made myself feel better for not doing it today when I had the time. The tragedy is that we may never reach tomorrow. In the earthly realm, tomorrow has robbed multitudes of success, and that is undoubtedly sad. But in the spiritual realm, the results of tomorrow have been tragic because relying on tomorrow has slammed the door of heaven in the face of untold millions. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27, if you would. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. The wise man Solomon wrote in verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. Tomorrow we could see a complete change in our attitudes. For example, I was reading about a poor Texas farmer. This man was a Christian, and every time the collection basket was passed or a sermon on giving was preached by the preacher, this poor man just became so upset because he simply did not have any money to give. He would always say, if I was to strike it rich tomorrow, then I wouldn't feel so bad. I would give so bountifully of my wealth. Well, for this man, one day, tomorrow, really did come. He did strike it rich when oil was discovered on his property. But a funny thing happened. Every time the collection basket was passed or a sermon on giving was presented by the preacher, this old fellow still became extremely upset. When asked why, he put it this way. He said, back then I had the desire to give but did not have the means. Now I have the means but I've lost the desire. And you know, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2 speaks of having our conscience seared with a hot iron. And I believe that one of the ways we can do that is to keep putting off until tomorrow something we should be doing for the Lord this very day or even this very morning. It's very possible that when tomorrow finally does come for us, we're going to be so used to not doing what we should have been doing all along that we won't ever do it anyway. In the Bible, there is at least 18 different expressions used to describe the uncertainty and the brevity of life. Phrases like the shadow that fleeth, or a fire that is cut down, or a vapor, or water spilt on the ground. All of these expressions searching or teaching that tomorrow could be the day of death. Look with me at James, the 4th chapter, if you would, please. James chapter 4. James wrote, beginning in verse 13, he said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. How many times have you sat in your backyard and looked up in the sky and you saw an airplane go by leaving a vapor trail? 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes later, you look up, that vapor trail is gone. It is gone. That's, brethren and friends, is what life is like compared to eternity. A vapor that appeared for a little while. That's what life is. Just think of how sad it would be to have to bow before the judgment seat of Jesus and say, I was going to be a Christian tomorrow. Or to have to say, Lord, I knew I should have been faithful in attendance. I know that I promised I would serve you diligently, but I was going to start living that way tomorrow. How sad it would be to have to hear these words, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because I spent my time waiting for tomorrow to get here. Is there anyone here in this building this morning who can say with absolute certainty that Jesus is not coming back today? Turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter again. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Here we read, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Skip over to chapter 25 and look at verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The word watch is found in the scriptures about 90 times. It suggests the idea of caution or carefulness and giving close attention to. Watching is essential to our salvation, our spiritual salvation. Moses missed Canaan because he failed to watch. Samson's failure to watch allowed the Philistines to overcome him. David was ensnared by sin, and he gave the enemies of Jehovah an occasion to blaspheme because he failed to watch. Solomon was led into idolatry because of his failure to watch. During his personal ministry on earth, Jesus told the apostles to watch. He admonished them, saying, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Then the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's Matthew 26 and verse 41. The disciples, that's us, brethren, the disciples are told to watch. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, but be strong." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul exhorted, saying, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, let us watch and be sober." Of course, we all know what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 when he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Evangelists are told to watch. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, Paul exhorted Timothy by saying, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions," he said, "do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." It is absolutely essential that evangelists give close attention. And elders are told to watch. To the elders, Paul warned, saying, "Take heed, therefore, watch," he said in Acts 20 and verse 28. Elders are told to watch for the souls of others. That's a very serious obligation, and it must not be taken lightly. Look with me at Mark, the 13th chapter, if you would. In Mark, the 13th chapter, in verse 37, Jesus said these words. He said, And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, go back to verse 23. Let us all watch and beware, for we have been warned. Jesus tells us in Mark 13:23, "But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." Today could be the very last day, period. Tomorrow could bring the judgment, and all of us are going to be judged. Jesus made it clear that we don't know the hour, the day, or the hour when he shall return. It very well could be today, and tomorrow would be the beginning of eternity. Now, I realize that I'm speaking of eternity as though it involved time, but I think you know what I mean. And I want to consider carefully throughout the rest of this lesson. I'd like for you to come with me to Luke, the 14th chapter, please. Luke, the 14th chapter. Let's see if we might learn a little more about the dangers of tomorrow. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24 says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Look at the procrastination, these procrastinators, those who in effect were saying, wait until tomorrow. One of them said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. In other words, wait until tomorrow. Upon examination of the nature of the reasons given, they all proved to be nothing more than excuses. In other words, who buys land first without seeing it? Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. Now, I've never bought any type of animal that to work on a farm, but I can't imagine buying 5 yoke of oxen without first determining that they would be capable of doing the work that I wanted them to do. So in other words, he was saying, wait until tomorrow. The other said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. That was probably the best excuse of all, but it's still just an excuse. Each one was saying, wait until tomorrow. Because of their procrastination, they would never taste of that supper. Jesus says, come, all things are ready. And what do many answer? Some say, I just don't think I can live the life of a Christian right now, but I'll do it later. In other words, wait until tomorrow, Jesus. Others will respond, my mother and father weren't members of the Church of Christ. In other words, wait until tomorrow, Jesus. Still others will say, they're hypocrites in the church, and I just can't see being part of hypocrites. In other words, wait until tomorrow, Jesus. We could go on and on with a million excuses for not becoming a Christian, yet not one would be a good reason. And the result is going to be the same. Those who continually say, wait until tomorrow, Jesus, will eventually run out of tomorrows and will never taste the glorious feast that Jesus has prepared for His disciples. Let's look at another example of the dangers of waiting until tomorrow. Once again, let's go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into the marriage with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. What sad words. What sad words to hear from the Lord on the judgment day. I know you not. So instead of being prepared, instead of taking the necessary to be ready, those foolish virgins decided to put it off until tomorrow. When the time came, they were not ready, even though they had time to make the necessary preparations. The result, the door was shut and they were denied entrance. The same is true today, brethren, even among some of us who are members of the body of Christ. Here are people who have taken the necessary first steps in their preparation for their arrival of the Lord, but the Bible teaches us that Christianity is an everyday religion, brethren. Every day, 24 hours a day, every minute, every hour. It is a lifestyle. It is a total commitment. It is something that takes continual growth and effort. And we are to grow in knowledge as Christians, yet some forsake the opportunities for organized Bible study. They just won't come on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening Bible classes where they can learn so very much and they can also participate. But they want to wait until tomorrow, Jesus. We're to take the gospel to others And some always seem to want to wait until tomorrow to do that. On and on, we could go along this line. But what are those who are not Christians? What are those who have never rendered their obedience to the gospel of the Lord Jesus? There are some who have for literally years put off until tomorrow to become a Christian. Some have said they'll become a Christian soon and have been saying that for 5, 10, 15, and 20 years or longer. I know some that have done that. I know some who have been saying that for that long. I know some who died and never was a Christian, but they said they were going to do it tomorrow. There are others who've been thinking about it, perhaps not quite that long, but thinking about it for a while. And you know what? I wish I knew the words to say that would convince you that you have been giving your share of tomorrow's already, and it's time to start giving Jesus your today's. Don't be like the foolish virgins. Be prepared when the Master comes. Make today, this very morning, the tomorrow that you've been waiting for. Then there's one more example that I want to look at. Turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. Let's read verses 21 and 22 when we get there. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 21. The Bible says, "And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." Evidently, this person felt that his personal affairs were of such important nature that they were to be taken care of today, and that following Jesus could wait until tomorrow. That's what he thought. But this passage shows that no personal affairs, nothing takes precedence over our obedience and to follow Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33? He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Brethren, the theme of the Bible from Genesis 1 through Revelation, the last verse in Revelation, is obedience, obedience, obedience. That's the theme of the Bible. Obedience. Nothing comes before our Lord Jesus. We simply must not put off our spiritual obligations until tomorrow because of business or personal affairs. And in the spiritual realm, waiting for tomorrow will forever slam the gate of heaven for you. So the answer is, don't wait. Don't wait. There's a poem that I read, and it speaks of tomorrow. I'd like to read it to you. I don't know who wrote it, but here's what it says. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be better than he tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and he faded from view, and all that was left when the living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The great word in the Bible is not tomorrow. The great word in the Bible is always today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, brethren and friends, is the day of salvation, not tomorrow." Look at Hebrews 3, if you would, in verse 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. The Hebrew writer says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Brethren and friends, today is the day of salvation. Today is available to you. That much you're sure of, but you can't be sure of tomorrow. And we all know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Almost everyone intends to do right and straighten up and repent before he dies. But we always want to wait until tomorrow or some future convenient time. The young people say they need to sow their wild oats because we only live once. The middle-aged think that they must work and make all the money that they can while they're in their productive years because time will come when they cannot do so. We must make hay while the sun shines, you know. The aged think they must enjoy just a few years of retirement and fun before they settle down to seriously practicing religion. And the cycle continues. Every generation, men and women die at all ages, and many of them suddenly. Eventually, all of us, every one of us here this morning will die, as we read in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. He says, the Hebrew writer says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Brethren and friends, there's a great day coming. Are you ready? Our Lord does not want His coming to be dreaded. We should look forward with glorious expectations joyfully. Were you to sense that somehow His coming would be in the next moment, would you be found looking for and earnestly desiring to see Him? Would you? Or would the very thought send a surge of fear throughout your soul? Will you be among those who will cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them as though they could hide them from the sight of God and Christ? Would that be what you would be? Or would you cry out with the Apostle John, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. And if you're not a Christian, there are certain conditions that you must meet in order to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. You must believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, for He is. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. You must repent of your sins. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. You must confess your faith in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32. And you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. And if you're an erring Christian, there are certain conditions you must meet to have your sins forgiven. You must repent of your sins. Acts 8 and verse 22. You must confess those sins to God always and to man as necessary. Acts 19:18. Then come forward and let the brethren pray with you and pray for you. The Lord emphasized that one must obey these conditions in order to receive the benefit of the blood of Jesus Christ. We read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. There can be no fence riders, for we are all are on the narrow or the broad path. We're either the wise or the foolish man. We're either the good seeds or the weeds. We are either the sheep or the goats. We are either the good or the evil. Jesus taught us only two ways. He said there are only two ways, two categories that we can be in. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Luke 11:23. So I ask you, my friends, are you ready to die? Are you ready for the world to come to an end? Where will you spend eternity? I beg you to obey God today, for tomorrow may be too late. Where will you spend eternity if the Lord comes back today? My friends, these are the words from the Bible, the words of our Lord. Don't wait for tomorrow. We all know tomorrow never comes. Is there anything we can do or say to make you become a Christian? Is there anything that you need to do if you are a Christian that you need to repent of? After praying to God, come forward and let us pray with you and pray for it. My friends, think about this. Jesus has already done the hard part. He gave His life for us. He didn't have to. He was the Son of God. He didn't have to, but He did it. And all He asked of us, if you love Me, obey My commandments. And one of them is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we help anybody in any way at this time? If so, come now as our brother Bill leads us into song, Great Day Coming. Thank you, Bill.